I'm Emma. This is Kim. We're going to introduce ourselves, but first, I'm going to thank our sponsors.
We should do that on air. We have to do a laugh track.
We are recording.
Oh. Hello. Wait, we're not going to do our intro?
First, we're going to thank our sponsors.
Oh, okay.
And now we should just start over.
We're professionals.
Do you want it? Would it make you feel more comfortable if we did our intro?
We have to do our intro.
Read so hard, library's trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne.
Read so hard,
you use a Kindle? I carry spine, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin
Klein. Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. Oh, sorry, let's try that again. Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Kim.
And I'm Emma.
And we're professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers. Thank you so much for coming tonight and joining us here at King's Books in Tacoma, Washington. This is the very first ever live recording of Drunk Booksellers. It will be slightly edited. Tonight we are in Tacoma, Washington at King's Books. Thanks very much to King's Books for being our venue host. Also, thank you incredibly much to Soft Skull, Counterpoint, and Catapult, who provided the booze you're all drinking.
Woo!
Yeah, because this is the Drunk Booksellers, and what would we be if not for the booze?
We had a really fun shopping trip at Safeway, buying $250 worth of booze.
246.
Sorry, 246. And then we realized we forgot ice, so
that costs
you're all welcome
bit more.
For the ice, too.
That ice is on us. Thank you also to Joe and Stephanie Douglas, Big Hair Studios, Alan Watke, my coworker, Phil Heaven and the Midnight Mystery Players, and George Koss, Sam's dad, for providing all of this awesome and very helpful equipment, which is both recording and amplifying, which we weren't sure we'd be able to do.
We were like, one or the other? That's fine.
Also, a million thank yous to Sam Koss, our production manager. Can we clap for him? Thank you. You can't see him, but he's working extremely hard, and we would not be here without him. Anytime he asked us what the audio equipment we wanted, we were like, dude, you signed up for this, man.
We record on our computers, in our bedrooms, sometimes with clothes.
So do you want to talk about what PNBA is?
Yes, we are at PNBA, which is the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association's regional fall conference. So we have booksellers from around the Pacific Northwest region. So we're talking Washington, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, Alaska. Did I miss anybody?
And librarians.
Yeah, so it is a trade show where booksellers, librarians, publishers, and authors all come together for a weekend of debauchery and education.
In that order. So, Kim, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the Hop Valley Citrus Mistress, which, fun fact, at the lesbian bar, they know that I drink this enough, and so they just ask me if I want another mistress every time I go up to the bar.
And it works out well. She says yes.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Emma, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Elysian Men's Room. I believe it's a red ale because there were no stouts and porters. What is wrong with you, Pacific Northwest?
IPA.
Come on.
We got some Blue Moons.
All right. And what are you reading?
So right now I'm actually reading Philip Pullman's newest book. I had planned to actually reread the entire His Dark Materials trilogy, and then that just didn't happen. So now I'm listening to La Belle Sauvage. It's really wonderful, you guys. It's really good listening. I highly recommend the narrator is really wonderful. So I'm also reading PNBA books.
Forever and ever.
So as
delightedly,
everybody on this
of course.
Podcast has heard. So delightedly, because we have especially some authors here tonight who I was delighted to have read. This is going to go really well. Okay. Emma, what are you reading?
I'm going to talk about what I'm reading and also what I'm excited about that's coming out soon. Because,
that's cheating.
They go together. So right now, I just recently finished Eloquent Rage by Brittany C. Cooper. I was listening to it on audio. She is amazing. It is about female rage, specifically with a focus on racial identity. She's a black woman. She's a lot to say about white feminists and how we suck. Mm-hmm. We really do. It's awful. You should read this book. She's amazing. It's an amazing combination of funny and intelligent. It's really readable, but also super intellectual, much like the book that I'm recommending that I'm excited about that's not out yet, which is called Good and Mad by Rebecca Traister. Have I talked about that before? It doesn't matter, because that book is amazing, and I'm going to be recommending it to absolutely everybody for as long as I can. Again, it's called Good and Mad by Rebecca Traister. It's out October 2nd, and it is, again, about female rage. I don't know about everyone else in the room, but
weird.
Women have a lot to be mad about, and there are finally some books being published about how important and necessary it is to get mad. So yeah, that book is, both books, in fact, are full of intellect and very, very intense ire. So I highly recommend them. And what are you recommending?
This will be a bit of a spoiler alert for later in the episode, but one of the authors we have here tonight is Leah Dietrich, who wrote this incredible memoir called Vanishing Twins, A Marriage. When Leah spoke today at the conference, she talked about how much she loves Maggie Nelson and Sarah Manguso, which both of which were extremely apt comparisons for me. You had also mentioned that somebody told you it was a fast read. I read it in 24 hours, and I never have that much time to read. And I immediately gave it to my girlfriend, and she immediately read it like in just the same amount of time. It was just amazing. So I'm thrilled about that, and I'm also thrilled to have you on. That was kind of my pitch for when I was introducing you. So there we go, and we're getting flashed at. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Cool.
So while we're talking about the authors that we have on, I don't want Megan O'Connell to feel left out. Mm-hmm. I read her book recently, and she's also here tonight. It's called And Now We Have Everything, and that was a book that I could not shut up about. If you are a pregnant woman or a woman who is one day maybe thinking possibly about getting pregnant, this book, you have got to read it. I have never read something that was so honest and just, like, raw about that kind of experience. I feel like it always gets super sugar-coated. I still want to have kids after reading it, but it was touch and go there for a little while.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
I would like to call to the guest mic, Sweet Pea Flaherty. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Woo! I know you're cheering for him, but I'm pretending that you're cheering for my correct pronunciation. Sweet Pea, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. I've been a bookseller since 2000. I started in Madison, Wisconsin at a used bookstore, and then also at the then feminist bookstore Room One's Own. I mean, it's still feminist focused. It was a feminist new feminist bookstore when I worked there. It's all good.
Not so feminist anymore.
And then I moved here to Tacoma in 2003 with the bookstore. Long story. And then I took it over in 2010. So I'm about to have my 8-year in November. So yeah. And so we're a new and used bookstore, and we do a lot of different events, kind of different from a lot of bookstores in that a lot of them are not with authors. We have 14 book clubs, all of which are so specific in ways that fill me with delight. We have a book club that just reads about cults.
One, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm one so that just reads about medical issues. It's great. Yeah, fantasy and science fiction book club, and yeah. We have two queer book clubs, one for adults and one for kids. So, yeah. And we host a bunch of things from artist craft fairs. We have a big letterpress and book arts festival that happens every April where we make giant steamroll prints like the ones behind us. We made those with a steamroller in the parking lot. And then this next weekend, we're hosting all of the virtual reality films at the Tacoma Film Festival here at the bookstore for the second year. So, yeah, we just try to do things a little unconventional. We just had our 1980s workout night with the Dancing Grannies and Kathy Smith and a little bit of Cher.
Just this Monday.
She just gave the inspirational. We'll eventually get to the Cher full workout video. We just had a little inspiration for her.
Is this the first time you've hosted a live recording of a podcast?
Yes, I nice. Do believe. Yes.
I was going to get really sad if she was like, nah.
No, we do that all the time.
All the time.
That's our regular Saturday event. No big deal.
Sweet Pea, what are you reading right now?
I don't have tons of time to read, so what I'm reading, or what I just started, is Before She Sleeps by Bina Shaw, which is kind of a dystopian feminist book set in Asia of the future. And I don't know that much about it yet, or if I like it or not, but I'm excited for it.
Nice. And what book are you excited about besides that one? Something that's coming out soon?
Yeah, none of them have I read, but the one that I'm excited about is Training School for Negro Girls by Camille Acker, which is a short story collection. And it's kind of a riff on the life of Nannie Helen Burroughs, who I'm a bit obsessed with, who did a Training School for Negro Girls, who did, like, instead of teaching girls to be domestics, was like, hey, let's teach, you know, higher life skills, and she, like, challenged the Baptist church to be more political. Anyway, I'm obsessed with Nannie Helen Burroughs, so anything that is directly related to it, I'm excited
for. You should have a whole book club about that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Actually, one of the reasons why I got hired at Room One's Own is because I would go in there when I was in college and be like, do you have any books on Nannie Helen Burroughs? And they'd be like, no, they don't exist. Why don't you write one? Thank you.
So normally we've got a set of questions that we ask every bookseller that comes onto our podcast. Since we're seeing a lot of booksellers and authors tonight, we shorten that like a lot. As Kim mentioned earlier, we often tend to divert.
Sometimes we talk for like an hour about inventory systems, which all of you might actually be interested in. But unfortunately, we cut that for the actual shows.
Talk to me about your inventory. One question that we always ask is kind of a three-parter, so we're actually breaking it up amongst the guests tonight, and that is, what is your Desert Island book / your Station 11 book / your Wild book? And the Desert Island book, obviously, is what book would you bring with you on a desert island? The Station 11 book is what book would you carry with you after an apocalyptic event? And the Wild book is what book would you bring with you on an epic journey, but also be willing to, like, destroy, as Cheryl Strayed supposedly does in Wild. I still haven't read it.
Yeah, and generally speaking, people pick three different books just because...
Those are three different questions.
Three different questions, so...
So you only get one question tonight. Sweet Pea, what is your Desert Island book?
I would have to bring two books. One would be comically large that I would just wear on my head because otherwise I would just be sunburned all the time. I don't think I would fare very well on a desert island.
It's very practical.
Yes. So one would be maybe like Big Picture Press, and it would just be open all the time and just attached to my head. And then the one for content would probably be...
Maybe we should clarify this to read.
The one for content would probably be There Is Her Watching God, Zora Neale Hurston, because I could just reread that as much as I wanted to.
So, Swoopy, what is your bookseller confession?
I mean, my confession, which I'm pretty open with, is that being a bookstore owner and event planner and bookkeeper and et cetera, orderer, that I don't have a lot of time to read. And so I'm a bookseller surrounded by books that I don't have a lot of time to read. So,
can we have a – this won't actually work on the recording, but can we have a show of hands of who feels that way in the audience?
It's a lot.
For the record, it's everybody. So, yeah. Cool.
Not much of a confession.
I know.
But people don't understand that. Yeah, I think it's funny. It's like, true. There's this concept that we're just going to, like, sit around all day and read books and, like – to the staff of mine who are in the audience, like, if I see somebody doing that, I'm like, y'all, there's shit to do right
now.
Do that
on your own time.
We've got things that need to happen.
And sometimes I have a customer who's like, have you read this book? And I'm like, yeah, that's a really big book.
No.
Young adult books, maybe novellas. That's about my speed at the moment. Yeah. So sorry about it.
Yeah.
I can like talk at length about any book, you know, like because I read reviews and stuff. But like,
oh yeah, the best liars around. This is where all of our English degrees are like come into play. Like creative writing is just us talking about things we haven't read.
Yeah.
I haven't read that, but my coworker loved it.
I've been hearing a lot of buzz about it right now, you know? Like,
it is on the top of my stack.
I'm actually keeping it next to my bed, I swear. Like, it's next up.
I heard that Oprah's reading it.
Can't go wrong. All right. What's your favorite bookstore besides your own?
I don't know. I was kind of trying to think of that, and it's like chasing ghosts, because it's like the places that I grew up didn't really have particularly good bookstores, and so it was mostly libraries for me. And so it was like when I was traveling, and there was a bookstore that I was trying to find the name of in Knoxville, Tennessee, that was like in the back of an antique store, and you like go in it, and it was all brick and just had
Emma.
I didn't break it.
And it was just like had amazing books and was just like you could just get lost in there, and I enjoyed that, and I'm not sure what the name is. I know that it moved to a strip mall, so I think that probably whatever happened to it, the thrill is gone. And then it was also like Dixon Street Bookshop in Fayetteville, Arkansas, because that's where I bought my first Octavia Butler, so I have a little fond place in my heart for that store.
That's so sweet.
I realize that's a really loaded question. We're going to ask that to everybody, by the way, including the authors. And we are literally in a room with booksellers from around the Pacific Northwest. So, like, someone's going to go away pissed. And I'm excited for that fight. It's going to be a nerdy fight. Everybody's really nice. It's fine. Okay, so our last question for you. We're doing a really good job, guys. I feel like we need a round of applause or a pat on the back or something. Like, we'll talk about inventory systems later. It's fine. So, Swoopy, where can you be found on the internets? The interwebs?
The interwebs.
A S or a Z, regardless.
Yeah. Well, my bookstore, King's Books, can be found at King's Books on all of the things that we do, which is not everything, but whatever. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I am...
That's most of the things.
Yeah, mostly. I'm Beverly Query on Twitter and Instagram, and then Mr. Sweepy on Facebook.
Yeah, that was Beverly Query.
Query. Just, yeah. I would be Beverly Query on Facebook, but Facebook doesn't let you have queer in your title, so I was not allowed to get that.
That is ridiculous.
They've also challenged my legal name twice. And had to have me prove it with documents. But anyway, not,
can we
it's
get
not
a collective
me.
Boo what? For that? Yeah, that's not okay. But you know, the Russians and everybody else, yeah. They're fine.
That's not how that works.
We're going to have to bring up our next guest because we're getting the signal.
Yay! We got
Cheers
the signal.
Thank you, Sweepy.
Okay. Thank you, Sweepy. Okay, so as I already gushed a little bit about Leah Dietrich, our next guest is Leah Dietrich. I totally blew my wad on talking about your book already. So
this isn't awkward or
we're
anything.
Really fucking excited to have you here. So come on up.
Thank you, guys. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. This is a,
I'm like really excited.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is the first time we've had an author on that's not also a bookseller.
That's true. Oh, yeah. We get publicists all the time asking us, like, oh, we've got this great author. And we're like, we have a shtick, y'all. Like, it's not that we don't love your author. It's just, like, not our normal game. So this is really exciting to actually, like, have it be part of our podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So our first question is, what are you reading right now?
I just finished reading Amateur by Thomas Page McBee, which was mind-blowing.
Kim is jumping up and down, just for those who can't see.
Not only does it have the best cover of all time, besides my cover, which I also love, but yeah, that book just really, really felt like a necessary book for right now and thinking about masculinity and somebody thinking about it from like a really interesting, different perspective as a trans man. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of Thomas's, so.
That is the only book that I've freaked out more about in the last, like, year than yours. So.
Yay.
I'm really
Keep
excited.
It in your hands.
Thank you.
I'm okay now. It's fine.
It's so good.
It's fine.
Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yes.
Even though we already talked about
Absolutely.
It a lot, we'd like to hear some more.
Yeah. So my book, Vanishing Twins, is about a mysterious feeling that I have had for a long time that I was supposed to have been born a twin. And I read a statistic that 1 in 8 pregnancies begin as twins. And when I read that statistic, I immediately had this spark of like, oh, that maybe that explains everything about the way I've been trying to do relationships my entire life, of trying to re-find this lost twin in first my husband, and then we opened our marriage, and then a woman I fell in love with, and a colleague that I got kind of dangerously close to. And Yeah. So it's about marriage, it's about identity, it's about art making, and it's about finding yourself within and without relationships.
And one of the things I love about your work, you bring in so many different things. The back cover, whoever at Soft Skull wrote the fucking
blurb
for that
amazing.
Shit was awesome. Thank you.
Very funny.
It was fucking hilarious, and it was all dead on. It was like, read this book if you want to learn all of these very absurd things. And they all tied together in this, like, really incredible way. And it was so good. And, like, you talk about ballet a lot.
Yeah.
And you bring in the arts and pop culture. It was a really fantastic book, so thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to stop doing this now. Just don't get me started on amateur, so.
We already started.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite bookstore?
I would say it's a tie between Skylight Books in L.A. and, of course, Powell's, which now I live in Portland, so I get to go to all the time, which I love because it's the best.
Which is your favorite Powell's location?
Well, I've got to say that when I just want to get lost, because I literally just do get lost in maybe a bad way at the downtown City of Books Powell's, but I live much closer to the Hawthorne one, and that's where I did my Powell's event, and I do love that one. It has a good vibe.
Yeah. It feels like a, like, local indie
it's
bookstore.
It's a neighborhood, and, yeah. It's nice. Thing.
It is a local indie bookstore.
It's, well, yes, it's true. But it's like, it's iconic Powell's, you know? Well, yeah, thank you so much for
thank
coming.
Thank you guys and, so
yeah,
much.
And again,
here.
Thanks to Soft Skull for sponsoring.
Yeah. And everybody read Vanishing Twins and then talk to me about it.
What? It's available for purchase at the front.
Yeah.
In fact, did you know that you could be buying books right now? Why
yeah,
are you
what
listening
are you
to
doing?
Us? You could be buying books. Spend all your money here. Drink books. More. Buy yeah. books.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't know about you guys, but I do most of my book purchasing while drunk. I don't buy a lot of books because we're booksellers, so it's really only when I'm...
A Powell's box shows up and you're like, oh... That looks good.
It happens occasionally. They have great deals.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
So our next guest tonight is Ariana Paliobagas from the Country Bookshelf in Montana. Please come up to the stage. In Bozeman, Montana.
It's cool. We're friends.
Excellent. I got the last name right. Come on.
You killed it.
It's like Polly O.
Wait, did you say the bookstore wrong?
No,
she okay, got it right.
I didn't,
she got
everything
city. Right.
I just said the
right.
city. I just want to be she really, just, really.
The applause
efficient.
Was for your pronunciation.
It, absolutely.
Well deserved. Doesn't happen every day.
So Ariana, when he asked you here, I might have neglected to mention that it was a live podcast recording.
Pretend
you're
not did. Here.
So we're really, really glad that you actually still said okay. Thank you.
I'm just pretending you guys aren't here. It's all good. I'm just here with my good friends here, and we're going to have fun.
So Ariana, tell us who you are and about your store.
Absolutely. So I started working at my bookstore in 2006, and I was going to grad school, and I was just like, this is a great job because I'm an English major. And I kept working there, and I finished grad school, and I was teaching at the university, and I kept working at the bookstore, and after a while, I was like, I don't like teaching very much. I'm not very good at this. But the bookstore thing, I like that. I'm comfortable
there. That's a real
there.
Career.
Like, that's, yeah.
yeah.
You
tell
know,
your friends.
I'm still using my English degree, kind of. Though you find the things that you do owning a bookstore, they don't teach you in your English degree.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Something wrong there. So after about 5 years of working there, I managed to take the place over from the woman who'd had it for 36 years. The bookstore has been there since 1957. Nice. And so we just celebrated 61 years. We are
That's incredible. Let's give a round
just
of applause.
Like, yeah.
But I took over in 2010, just like Sweet Pea, so we are...
Brothers.
They're really good colleagues. Yeah, we're in it. And so we are a general interest bookstore, actually quite large, one of the largest in the state. And we do events all the time for adults and for kids. We have a few book clubs, not as many as Sweet Pea.
Yeah,
not
well.
As fun. But we did just have an incredible book club discussion, which I'll get to. Yeah,
Bozeman's a great town with a lot of literary people who seem to really like having us there. So,
yeah. So what are you reading right now?
So the book that I just finished reading, which was for my book club, is called Mrs. Caliban by Rachel Ingalls. I heard that. Thank you. it is a reissue that just came out, I think, last year from New Directions of a book that was published, I think, in 1982 originally. The author, Rachel Ingalls, just does novellas, which Sweet Pea and I have so much more in common than we ever knew.
We just bring people together on this podcast.
You're doing a great job.
Everybody now has a new best friend.
And surprisingly, this is not my impossible hand sell, because I could just say, and I have said this and sold it, a woman falls in love with the frogman. I mean.
Done,
right? For some of us, that's all it takes. But it's a proto-feminist story of a disaffected housewife, and it's told in this really kind of delightfully kind of flat affect, which I really love because it really brings out the humor. And one day, this 6'7" tall green frogman, very well built, shows up her door and says, "I'm in trouble, they're after me, help me." And she takes him in all the ways. And
can we add like a bow-chicka-bow-bow?
I think you just did.
But my book club had the best discussion about this. And they are these wonderful women, mostly in their 50s and 60s. And oh my God, it was intelligent and it was funny and it was insightful. It was great. Oh, we did have one 20-something young man in the book club always. Who works for the shop. Yeah. And he was so excited and he was so worried that all these, you know, maybe more traditional readers were not going to appreciate this book that he loved. But they just made him blush and it was great.
That's
awesome.
Great. God bless. So what are you excited about right now?
So one of the books that I have not read yet but that I am excited about is called Trinity by Louisa Hall. She wrote Speak, which I think is an incredible book. She's really great at multi-voice narratives, and that's what she did in Speak, and she's doing it again in Trinity with the story of Oppenheimer. And she always brings in this great philosophical and moral questions, but does it in a very non-didactic way.
Nice.
And she's a great writer and a lovely human being. And so
I'm always a bonus.
It's right? Nice when that happens.
Yeah. Right?
It doesn't always happen.
No.
So what's your Station 11 pick?
This was hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. Because, I mean, you can go with the practical, and there are a lot of good of those. But one of the ones that was on my mind recently was a book called What Money Can't Buy by Michael Sandel. Or Sandel, I'm not sure. Saying that right?
Doesn't matter.
Welcome to a podcast.
Yeah, and I've got a beer in my hand, so it's awesome. Which really, its subtitle is The Moral Limits of Markets. And I think that something like that would help us really think about how we want to recreate the world and what's important and how we choose to value things.
That was the most overarching practical answer that I think we've ever heard. Like, normally we hear, like, I want to bring, like, how to survive in the woods or, like, some, like, very, like, heart-wrenching, like, this is what human emotion looks like. And that's very practical. Thank you. Yeah.
We're building a library for the post-apocalypse.
Yeah. No, everybody can come to our place and we'll have us covered only there. Like, we've got nothing else. We've got an earthquake bag. My parents gave it to me. Seattle. Oh, that's me. Okay, so spoiler alert from earlier. What is your impossible hand sell?
So this is a book that I wrote a chapter about in my master's thesis. And
I think you're done now.
Right?
You did it. No,
right. Jokes. But it's an amazingly funny book, and I just can't seem to get anyone to bite. It's called English, August, and Indian Story by Upmanyu Chatterjee. It was a bestseller in India. It's from the 1980s. But it is, again, it's a slacker character who gets a cushy government job, but in the most miserable town ever, and he hates everything. And he really just wants to slack off, and drink and sleep and masturbate and all those things that apparently you're not supposed to do on the job.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know.
What do you always do at your job? Just kidding. But anyway, that sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But okay, so here's the thing. Up until, while I wrote my master's thesis, there weren't any great female comps. And finally, my year of rest and relaxation came out. And I was like, thank you. That's the book I've been waiting for.
Thank you, publishing, for finally getting their shit together 2,000 years later.
Yeah,
or
Otessa
Moshfegh.
Like, I don't know
when publishing started. So.
And that's by Otessa Moshfegh. And you can probably buy that here as well.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
All right. What about your favorite bookstore?
Other than your own.
Other than my own. And I'm sorry if this makes some people a little jealous, but my favorite bookstore is in Arles, France. It's called, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I know, so I'm sorry, Libraire Actes Sud, and it, oh, someone else knows it. I'm so happy. It's an amazing bookstore in its own right. I mean, their selection is fantastic. They have staff picks everywhere, but they also have a restaurant and a bar. They have music and DVDs. They have a cinema and a theater where they do live performances. And this is the kicker for me. They have a hammam. And anyone who knows me knows that I love hot springs, sauna, hammam. And so that made me go back to this bookstore.
I'm sorry, this is all in a bookstore?
It's all in a bookstore.
You guys, America's doing it
wrong.
We're
doing it wrong.
what are we
thinking? Open up the hot springs.
I'm just going to live there, honestly, someday. That's my plan.
Okay, so the future of books is not books. It's hammam. You all heard it here first. Ariana, where can it be found on the internet?
The bookstore is countrybookshelf.com. We're also Country Bookshelf on Facebook and Instagram. Country Bookshelf without the O's on Twitter because of the length issues. And then personally, you can find me at Bookcentric on Instagram and sometimes Twitter.
Sometimes nice. Twitter. That's my game, too. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can somebody pass a beer just from the cooler, just like pass it up? Emma, do you need anything?
No,
you're good.
I'm good.
Okay.
We're getting the flash.
Oh, and this is Citrus Mistress.
Can you get
y'all
two
are the best.
Beers? Can you actually
Holy shit.
One more?
Oh, wait, no, yes.
Our
Sam,
sound guy needs a beer.
Sound guy needs a beer. What? Thanks, audience. You're so helpful.
All right. I have the amazing pleasure of introducing Megan O'Connell, the author of And Now We Have Everything, which is out from Little Brown a little while ago. Also
specific.
For sale at the front of the bookstore. This book I actually picked up for the store's quarterly newsletter. Read it, loved it, wouldn't shut up about it, as we have already covered.
Yep.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm really short.
We were thinking about holding ours too. All right. So, what are you reading right now?
I'm actually reading Hot Milk by Deborah Levy.
Oh, I've read that book.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I just read The Cost of Living and then like every book she's ever written now. And
it's funny that the authors we both introduced have read books
I'm
that
really
we also
excited
really like.
About it. Can we be best friends? It's fine, right? It's fine.
No big deal.
We already are. That sounds good.
Oh, do I need to like pitch it or?
No. Okay. But we would love to hear you pitch your book.
I mean, if you want to, it's fine.
Yeah, you can.
I'd rather pitch that book than my book.
All right, you can talk a little bit more
okay.
about it, and then I'll like eat up your time, so you don't have to talk about your.
It's
book
in the first
at all.
Person, Hot Milk. It's really. Can I curse on this?
Fuck
yes.
Yeah.
can we get a big? Everybody, say your favorite swear word on air. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Cunt.
There we go. Okay. Megan, you're solid.
Okay, the narrator's really fucked up, which is my favorite kind of narrator. And she's like a young woman, and her mom, she's like a caretaker for her mom, and her mom has like an imaginary problems, and there's a lot of sex, and it's fun.
This sounds great, right?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
That's all you need to know. Yeah.
All right, do you want to tell us a little bit about your book?
Same thing applies.
Is there a lot of sex?
It's basically the same. Yeah.
There was some sex.
There's
so.
A pointed lack of sex, I guess. It's a book of essays about when I got pregnant and had a baby, and it's like about the mind fuck of becoming a parent. And it's like an existential, I like to think, emotional, very dark, occasionally funny.
All this and more. Yes. I also kind of know Megan's husband. You guys might too. His name is Dustin. He used to work at a bookstore that I used to work at. We didn't work there together. It was a little weird to read about him though.
Yeah. Okay, because this is actually a question of mine, because
sure.
Dustin worked for Melville House as well. Like, you know, we like him. How did
blah blah blah, we like him.
Whatever. He's not as cool as his wife.
Great.
So
he's
whatever.
Fine.
He's at home taking care of the kid, I think, right now, so that you can be here. Thank you, Dustin. Mm-hmm. Like, how is it with, you know, this is a very personal, like, book for you to have written within the context of your relationship.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess both of our authors, I could have asked that same question.
Hey-o. Seriously, we're still married, I guess, is that? Right?
That's all.
Was that the real question?
Yeah, I mean, when we met, he was working at Word, and I had just written, co-edited an anthology called Coming and Crying, so... And it's about what it sounds like.
Best title ever.
So he knew what he was getting into, I guess, that's my point. And we always kind of had a deal that I could write whatever I wanted, and I had carte blanche. And part of me kind of wanted him to have some problems and us to, like, dish it out before the book came out, but he was very...
He's been repping it so hard.
Really?
I mean, that's kind of his job, I guess. Yeah. But, like, not for your books.
My
so
hype man.
I got an email, like, way before pub date being like, hey, my wife's coming out of the book. And I was like, that is fucking cute.
Oh, yeah. He made you, like, indie next it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did.
Yeah, I think Little Brown was like, why did we weren't, like, pushing for you.
Oops.
Yeah.
What is your favorite bookstore? You guys have moved around a few times. So.
Well, I have a soft spot for Word in Greenpoint.
So do we.
I guess for the people who don't know the podcast, Emma and I actually met because we helped open Word's second location in Jersey City together. And then I came out here, and then Emma followed me because I'm awesome.
It's not really exactly
that's
how
not
it
how
happened.
It worked at all. But that's how that's
yeah,
how my
when
story
I,
goes.
When I moved to my first apartment in Greenpoint... Word was opening, and then like 3 years later I met Dustin there when he was
bookstore
Sarah McNally
love.
Like temporarily fired him from McNally Jackson, so he went to Word.
Have you temporarily fired?
I shouldn't be saying this from
anyway
yeah. Word.
Word.
Word indeed.
Well, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining us. Again, Megan's book is incredible. As we mentioned earlier, booksellers don't really get a lot of time to read. I've read both their books. Like, honestly, I'm not lying to you. And they're both incredible. Would read again.
I went to an author dinner, like, 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I just have to tell you, I read almost all of your book. Like, and I was expecting
the
author
so
to be,
proud?
Like, proud of me. And I was like, oh, wait, no, I realize what that sounds like. But, like, I meant it. Like, it was a really genuine, like, excitement. I was like, I got
that
almost
never
all
happened.
The way through your book. Yeah. So, anyway.
So when you actually finish a book, it means you really liked it.
Yeah, you ticked it off the list.
So buy it.
Yeah, buy both of them right now from Sweet Pea at King's. If you're not here right now, you can still buy it from King's on King's website. We will have a link in the show notes. Because
and
this is meta.
Now we're moving on.
Read so hard, libraries can't find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
For our final guest... Wow, it's almost over.
I'm really proud of us. We haven't talked about inventory systems at all, except for the
fact that we've been talking about.
I know
about
everybody's
going
to come talk to. My main point is that I want everybody to talk to me about inventory systems after we finish airing, so that we can just like get that out.
Talk about inventory.
Yeah.
Systems.
Okay. Come find me.
So allow me to welcome Jenny Cohen from Wacoma Bookstore in Hood River, Oregon.
You don't know what that is. It's a city. It's fine. It's great. Awesome. Thank you, Jenny.
Yay!
This is what happens when a New Yorker moves to like the Pacific Northwest.
Where
it's
are
like,
we?
Hood River? What is this?
Thank
I love
you
your
so
bookstore.
Much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. A little nervous.
That's fine.
About there.
Are you not drunk?
I actually don't drink that much anymore. I'm usually like kind of the designated driver.
That's fair.
It used to be I was the designated driver for our friends in Hood River, and then on my birthday I would get drunk.
Nice.
That was one like time a one year, time yeah. a year That's sort of thing.
I do see that you're drinking the grapefruit LaCroix, though, which is the better option of the two that we bought.
It is, but I had a little wine, too.
From oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. We're not here to judge. We have stoners.
I really like Pamplemousse, okay? It's Pamplemousse. Why is it the only one not in English? I don't know.
Anyway, sorry. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your store?
Yeah, so I never thought I would be a bookseller at all. My husband and I met in college. He likes to say that I followed him from U of O to Oregon State.
Kim likes to say that about me.
Right. It's true.
Right. So Mir grew up in Hood River. I grew up in Portland. And when we would travel, we would go to bookstores all the time. And so Mir would always say, I'm going to buy a used book or like a bookstore when I retire. So we graduated from college, we got jobs in Portland, I was a financial analyst for a government agency, my husband was a computer engineer for a high-tech company, and we knew that we were going to move back to Hood River at some point, just because we knew that we wanted to have a family there. And he hated Portland. He's a he really disliked living out in the country in his small town. Now, back in the day, people would be like, oh, Hood River, where's that? It's an hour east of Portland. It's well known for windsurfing, hiking, biking, outdoor sports, none of which we do. Like, my outdoor sport is taking a book outside. And so nowadays, it's a big tourist destination. So we had a family friend that was selling the store, I think, in 2006-ish, 2007. And she sent out an email to everyone saying, I'm ready to sell the store. She started the store in 1976. It was a store that Mir had grown up with. And so we started getting these emails like, hey, do you know Sally's selling her store? And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know what we're really going to do in Hood River. Well, really, I was supposed to be a tax accountant and work for Mir's dad and take over that business. And then Mir was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's like, yeah, well, I guess we could buy a bookstore. You know,
Why not? Everyone else is doing it.
Right. So we bought the bookstore. And yeah.
And you sit around and read all day.
Yeah, I sit around and read all day.
Oh, nice.
We've had it for, so I worked for the bookstore for 6 months before we took it over because they needed someone, someone left. So they kind of just eased me in. We took it over in April 2008. So like Sweet Pea and I always talk about like, we used to be the young people at Winter Institute. it's been really great to see a lot of new young booksellers coming up into the business. So that's really exciting. But yeah, so we have eight to ten part-time staff. Mir and I are the only two full-time staff people. We also have a 21-month-old, so over almost 2 years old, son that comes to the bookstore with us every day. The customers love it. He likes to sit at the counter and give change and pull out the credit cards from the credit card machine and hand
me. Are your tills off all the time? Because that might explain what's happening at my store, but you know.
No, actually, sometimes it's because of me.
blame the baby.
Yeah, I'll blame the baby, but no, it's great. That was the whole point of moving back, is so we would have that flexibility. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So all of our guests are people who have taken over bookstores that were previously owned. So stick around long enough in the book business, and you can buy your own bookstore.
I'm saving up, y'all.
Yeah.
Those quarters, they're going to the piggy bank, and it's going to happen.
Every time a customer says, just keep the change, I'm like, all right.
This is going to work someday. Okay, Jenny, what are you reading right now?
So I was like, I don't read a lot anymore.
We already had CP's bookseller confession. You're not allowed to pull that game.
So I was like, oh, should I talk about, like, adult books I'm listening to? But I'll be really honest. The book I've read a lot lately is Oh Crap, Potty Training. It's a Simon & Schuster title, Christine's in the audience. Yeah, very popular potty training book. Basically, the whole thing is that you can get it done without rewards within a month, and my kid's doing pretty well. I take the potty chair everywhere.
I wanted to train the cat to pee in the toilet. Is it like, are they similar philosophies? Like, is there some cross training involved that I can get in on? Or
yeah,
I'm just wondering how I can hand sell this to the appropriate customers.
Funny you should say that. I was talking to my friend about this, and she was like, "Oh, that's really similar to dog potty training." I was like, okay, I guess so. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a dog. I've never had a dog. I've always had cats that use litter boxes. I mean, and I'd heard about the whole, like,
I know, I'm really fascinated by
very
it.
Very fascinating.
Sorry. Anyway, we're talking about
so
your child.
So no reward potty training.
No reward potty training, and it works pretty well.
My niece is currently being potty trained, and her reward is actually books. So now she's realized that if she just goes and sits on the toilet, people will bring her books. She just has to sit there and say, book, please.
So my son will sometimes still do that. I think he's figured out that if he says he has to go pee and he doesn't want to, say, be somewhere, like, say, in the pack and play at the store and wants to be out of it, that he can sit on the potty and be like, book, 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 and hold a book there when he doesn't actually really need to go potty. I mean, he's usually really, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this on the podcast, talking about my son's potty training. But it's an excuse for him to sit on the pot to read a book.
Yeah.
I've heard from, maybe Megan can, all the mothers in the group can talk about this, but like, I've heard from friends of mine that like, going to the bathroom is the only time they got to read. They would just like go in the bathroom and lock themselves up and be like, I'm in the bathroom. And like, then they would read the books that they don't want their kids getting their hands on, like Game of Thrones or something like that, you know? Like,
is that accurate?
Is that a thing? I mean, I guess at two, maybe that's not a thing, but maybe
at
a
two,
little
maybe
older.
Not so, but he's now has figured out how to open the office door and other doors in our house. So that's been.
That's a really scary cat you have in your house.
Sometimes he's run out front without his shorts on.
Okay. Okay, what are you excited about?
So I had this whole other book planned that I was excited about, but then I saw this author at the, what is it?
Nightcapper.
Mm. And it's called Survival Math. He's actually out in the audience right now. And he's,
hey. Oh,
so I went up to him and I was like, hey, I'm really excited about your book. I grew up in your neighborhood. And he's like, where'd you grow up? And so we're talking about our addresses and stuff and where we grew up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't go to the public school. I went to the private school. And he's like, oh, my cousin went there. And I was like, okay. So I went to the bathroom before I was supposed to meet you guys to walk here.
Mm. Sure.
And then I ran back in. And I was like, is your cousin Jesse Jackson? 6 degrees of separation. But I'm really excited. I don't have an arc or anything. Christine, I really want it.
There we go.
So, yeah, I'm really excited about that book.
Nice.
It comes out in March. It comes out in March of 2019.
So you're going to have to be excited for a while.
Jenny, what is your wild pick?
So very ironic that you were talking about Wild, the book, because our bookstore is 20 miles away-ish from the Pacific Crest Trail where Cheryl Strayed ended her trip. So I can't really say Wild. I read that question wrong. I thought it was like the deserted island for some reason. I don't really reread books very often. I'm a fast reader. But there's this older book, and I think the paperback came out in 2010, called Juliet by Anne Fortier. And it's the premise of it is this, it's modern day, and this girl has found out that her real name is Julietta, and so there's this history. She goes back to Italy to figure out what her past history was, because her aunt never told her. She just knows something happened to her parents or not. And so the premise is that there was this line of Juliet, like the family of Romeo and Juliet. There was this whole history of like Juliet's
after that. And so it's a little bit of history, historical fiction, and romance all up together. But like I said, I don't really get too attached to books, so I wouldn't mind like tearing it out and like lighting it on fire to stay warm out in the wilderness.
that's what you got to do. Nice. Yeah. Quick plug before I ask the next question. The next question is actually inspired by the newsletter Books and Whatnot. And I really highly encourage you to sign up for it. The author of the newsletter, Beth Golay, has actually sent us a number of people that we've then interviewed.
Yeah. So Javier was maybe one of our best episodes. I would never say that to any other person we've had on an episode because they're all our best episodes. He's wonderful. And then actually our most recent episode was also
with Holland Saltzman.
With Holland Saltzman. So.
So anyway, Beth suggested that we ask this next question. So this is kind of from Beth. And it's, what book would you like to champion to other booksellers?
Yeah, so there's a book called Dear America that just came out, Notes from an Undocumented Citizen by Jose Vargas, Jose Antonio Vargas. He is Filipino, and so that's my ethnic background. But he really takes the politics out of what it's like to be an undocumented American. So the whole premise of the book is that, let's not talk about politics. There's a lot of things going on right now, but let's talk about what it really is like to be a person where you don't have paperwork. You know, he didn't know until he was like 16 that his green card wasn't real. But yet he was very successful. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting. And it's scary, and it's near and dear to my heart because I've had a family member where we smuggled her, you know, we're in high school. I was in high school, and back then the borders were more open. But she went home to the Philippines. They said it was okay for her to do that here when we checked with the U.S. Embassy. And then only to find out when she went to Manila, they were like, no, you can't go back. But her life was here now. So, I mean, just because you have all these things, there might be that person right next to you that you know really well and you think you know them, but there's a whole nother story. And I just feel like it's something that's so relevant right now that everybody should be reading it, not just booksellers.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny, what is your favorite bookstore other than your own? I know you're going to say Third Place Book, Seward Park.
Yes! I had a hard time with this because, again, I grew up in Northeast Portland. The library was awesome. The Albina Library branch was really great. There's now Whole Foods there. Kind of weird to me. And then I was like, oh, so what bookstore did I go to growing up? Well, my mom was that mom, and I love my mom a lot, but she would leave me at the, I think it was a B. Dalton or Walden books at Lloyd Center because she knew that I would read all the American Girl books there and not leave while she would run her errands.
Yep. Smart.
Yeah, but I mean, if I have to pick an indie bookstore, Powell's. I went to school in downtown Portland for high school. And so Powell's was a place where, like, because it was a private school, you had to buy all your books. So I was there a lot looking for those English books that I had to buy for school used or just hanging out because it was, you know, fun to hang out in downtown Portland, Maine.
So Burnside Store.
Burnside Store, definitely okay. Burnside.
Just checking.
Burnside Store before the remodel. It looks really great now, but it's...
I like the remodel.
No longer her favorite bookstore after the remodel. Sorry,
Jill. I think the remodel is beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's very beautiful. It's just...
I'm going to...
Yeah. It just, you know, childhood memories. It looks a little bit different back then.
She's just saying you ruined her childhood. No big deal.
I do get lost there now, which makes me really embarrassed. I'm like, I worked here. I don't know where things are. This is really embarrassing. Anyway, so yeah, we blame Jill. It's fine.
Where can you be found on the internets?
Online, wacomabookstore.com. So it's WAUCOMA bookstore.com. But on Instagram, it's Wacoma Books, as is Twitter. Again, shorter seemed to be always better.
Yeah.
I have a personal one at JKJEYCAY, but I'm not really on that one.
Is it like... angry political posts, dog photos, sorry, cat photos.
On my personal one, food, a lot of food.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Food photos. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. You.
So now we're at the outro. Our notes say thanks again to sponsors and banter and witticisms to taste.
Thank you, Sam, for writing our notes here. We don't normally write notes for ourselves, so I feel...
That's a lie, we do.
I feel like there is more banter and witticisms than I would normally taste. So...
Thank you all so much for coming out. Thanks again to Soft Skull, Counterpoint, and Catapult for sponsoring us. Thank you to Sweet Pea and King's Books for letting us invade your store.
Go buy some books. Go drink some booze.
Maybe
in other order. It's fine.
Thank you to all the people who lent us their equipment. And again, thank you to Sam for doing all the production and waving at us angrily when we've gone too long.
And thank you to Atticus and Herbert, the bookstore cats.
Bookstore cats.
Because this would not be the Drunk Booksellers podcast without the bookstore cats.
I don't think we've ever recorded an episode when a cat wasn't nearby.
Yeah. My house right now doesn't have any cats in it.
Mine does.
It's really sad. Maybe I'll go over to Christine's house and hang out.
So please stick around and drink more of our alcohol until Sweet Pea says go home. And
which
before
he,
you go home,
Sweet Pea will
some
not
books.
Tell you to go home. Sweet Pea will just like stay here until everybody is gone. I think last PNBA, like Sweet Pea was here till 4 a.m. So enjoy the evening.
Thank you for coming. Oh, you can find us on the internet as well. We are at Drunk Bookseller on Twitter and Drunk Booksellers everywhere else. And on Twitter, I'm at The Bibliot and Kim is at Finale of Seam. But what she'll tell
don't
you is...
Don't follow me. It's boring.
She doesn't post anything.
Normally sad political things. Don't do it.
You should just follow her.
Don't.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Now marking my page, don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page, don't let me forget this page. I am now marking my page, don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page, don't want to forget this page. I've got bookmarks at home, but I forgot one for the road.
I have a bookmark that I can loan.
Know how many bookmarks I own? I am now marking my page, don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page, don't let me forget this page. Page.